This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, another doubleheader. This is during World Series time, so we have a doubleheader today. We have Marcia DeFalco. She's with Accenture Federal Services. And we have Rod Benson, who's an attorney with the law firm of Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney. Good morning, gentlemen and ladies. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Yes, thank you for having us, John.
Well, you know, you pick up the newspaper, you sit in the bus, you talk to someone, and healthcare IT always pops up. It always pops up. It seems to be a big, big, big important item today. So I thought we'd bring in a couple people and slice and dice healthcare IT from a different perspective. You know, rather than looking at meaningful use or ICD-10 or all these very technical topics, maybe we should look at it from the perspective of a federal agency acquiring healthcare IT and what are the challenges involved in that? And maybe there's some savings involved. Maybe there's some efficiencies that can be made in just procuring IT in a more effective manner, especially in the area of healthcare IT. So to that effect, we brought in Marcia DeFalco. Coincidentally, Marcia is putting together a program with a local group called HIMSS. It's called HIMSS NCA. And there's a program coming up in November that's going to have actual live human beings in front of you that you can ask questions and go back and forth with and get all the details answered about federal acquisition. And Rod Benson here is an attorney, and he's focused many years in the world of acquisition and contracts. And I thought it would be a kind of interesting play off me and my two guests on different areas of acquisition, the challenges, and some successes that agencies have seen. And maybe at the end of the interview, talk about where this whole technology thing is headed. But before we begin, Marcia, could you maybe share with our listeners a little bit about your background, how you wound up working in this position, please?
Well, I've been working health IT for a number of years. I worked in the commercial sector and moved to the D.C. area because of my husband's career about 9 years ago. And I have worked for government-related organizations such as the Military Health System, the Veterans Health Administration, and for Health and Human Services.
Not exactly small organizations. The VA has 400,000 employees. I mean, there's a huge, big. I mean, if you go to Chicago and say that, they go, "Oh, what's that?" But here in town, that's just a huge. These are big, large organizations with huge budgets.
I constantly have to tell my family who are in the Chicago area what it is we do.
Yeah, look,
in
this
federal government.
It affects everybody, even the Chicago Bears fans. It affects, believe it or not. And Rod, what's your background, please?
Yeah, John. I started my career about 35 years ago working in the general counsel's office for the Department of Health and Human Services. And I represented both the Social Security Administration, which was part of HHS at the time, as well as an organization called the Healthcare Financing Administration, which subsequently became the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. I was a government contracts attorney. I handled the bid protests and disputes for both Social Security and for HCFA, and also provided in-house counsel relative to their procurements, their appropriation issues, and a myriad of other kinds of matters. And about 15 years ago, I was asked by the leadership at CMS if I would like to come over and run the contract shop. So I became the director of the Office of Acquisition and Grants Management for CMS. And I was in that position for just over 13 years. In that position, I was responsible for really the award and administration of all of CMS contracts that were subject to the federal acquisition regulations, as well as the various grants that CMS gave, other than the mandatory grants for Medicaid. But the discretionary grants. And about 2 years ago, I retired from CMS in that position, and I went to work for the Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney. And now I work with just a number of companies in helping them with their dealings, their relationships, their dealings with the federal government, primarily in the health space because that's where I worked. But I counsel on general government contracting issues and matters like that.
Interesting. I have your notes in front of me. And I'm writing down. Scratch out the attorney. Putting down gladiator. Right. You had 14 years in the pit there, didn't you, boy? Right. It's like, show me some scars. You probably got plenty, don't you?
I have a few.
That was the fight. Can you imagine all those disputes and why about this and what about that and that was. My. I couldn't imagine doing that for all those years. So we have interesting perspectives on this whole idea of healthcare IT. Marsha, maybe we can focus a little more on hymns. And there are people listening who know all about hymns, and there's other people who think it's something you do in church. So tell us about HIMSS and in the local chapter, please.
Well, the Health Information Management Society has been around for a long time, and it's a national and international organization. But the local chapter, there's several. There's one in Virginia, there's one in Maryland, and there's one in the national capital area.
NCA.
And that's the one that I'm the vice president of on the board as a volunteer. And the program that we have in November, I decided to do the topic of what's changing in procurement, because it's so crucial to the changes that are happening in health and health IT, because the government is talking about the reduction in high risk contracts and the budget deficit, of course, and how do you get rid of this duplication and how you consolidate your data centers. And health is at the nucleus of a lot of mandatory spending, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security Administration, the disability piece of that. And of course, DOD's budget and the VA's budget is heavily focused in the health space on providing better services, value for the service. And there's an integration and sharing of resources happening there as well.
It's always interesting to note the amount of change in the last 40 or 50 years in the federal budget. So much more is gone to what they call I don't want to get in the political discussion here, but the budget's changed in the last 40, 50 years to other areas than it was 40 or 50 years ago. When I was a young puppy, HIMSS, by the way, based in Chicago.
Yes.
HIMSS-NCA.org. You can go there, get more information about the event. Taking place on the Ides of November, November 15th, just right over here in Roslyn near two metro stops. Right, Marsha?
Yes, it's Thursday, November 15th. It's usually the third Thursday of the month. And right out the Roslyn blue and orange lines, we have a networking session from 5:30 to 6:30 and 6:30 to 8. We have a panel of very knowledgeable subject matter experts in the procurement space for health IT.
And Rod, what I like about this kind of event is that maybe you're listening to a topic on the radio and maybe you're listening to this and you want to call in here or grab me as I leave the studio. But in an event that's face-to-face, there's a person there. You're going to be there. You can walk up to someone and go, well, I have this specific question about CMS and how do they do that? And they're going to have them right there, aren't they?
Right, exactly. When I worked at CMS, I really did not have a lot of involvement with HIMSS, and I kind of regret that now. The last couple of years, I've become much more active with HIMSS, and it's great. And one of the reasons why I think at CMS we sort of viewed HIMSS as much more of a technical kind of organization, made up of a lot of the CIOs of provider organizations and things like that. What I've learned since then is that many of the contractors, most of the contractors in the health IT space in the DC area, are very active. In HIMSS. And when you go to the meetings, you're really not just interacting with the government officials, but also on the commercial players in the health IT. And it's become a great way of not just networking, but I've learned a lot from people and the concerns as well as their initiatives and their priorities. And so the networking is valuable, as are the presentations at those meetings.
The National Capital Area Group is uniquely different from probably every other chapter in the United States, in that we're right here in the D.C. area, and we focus a lot on, the policy ramifications and the congressional decisions and how they affect health IT.
If you try to look at the big picture of acquisition, the way I look at it is that for many, many years, the government would buy a desk, and they would say it's got to be 3 feet by 2 feet and have 4 legs and have a drawer, and then you'd fill that requirement. How's that for a nice, simple requirement to fill? And you could look at tanks and planes and all kinds of complex requirements based on that, you know, traditional way of acquiring. What I see with software, it's changing so quickly and so rapidly that I think there has to be a transition the way acquisition is done for software projects, because it's just a different game completely from some desk or a plane or buying 50 gallons of fuel for a depot somewhere. Do you see this big change taking place, Rod, or what's your perspective on that?
I do see a big change taking place in many ways. The government for the last several years has had acquisition methods that allow them to acquire services, you know, in a much more expeditious and efficient way. And I think that the methodologies for the development of IT are undergoing a good deal of transformation at the current time.
We're going to have to break right now and come back, talk more about healthcare IT acquisition. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Marcia DeFalco from Accenture Federal Services, and we have Rod Benson. He's an attorney with a firm called Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, a doubleheader in October. This is exciting. We have Marcia DeFalco from Accenture Federal Services, and we have Rod Benson, attorney with a company called Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney. And before the break, we talked just in general about, you know, transitions in purchasing hardware versus software, how that's changed. And you've had a lot of experience at CMS over the years. Have you seen this big change, Rod, and where do you see it right now?
Yeah, John. Well, first of all, maybe this is because I was an acquisition official. I sort of view IT as really supporting the needs and the requirements and the mission of a federal agency. You know, that's really the drivers from my standpoint of IT. And CMS was kind of interesting how it developed over the years. You know, I was with the agency in different capacities, as I said, for about 35 years. And CMS has a number of large statutorily created contracts. For example, Medicare claims are paid today by organizations called Medicare Administrative Contractors. And those contracts are competed and are statutory authorities for those contracts. But in the early days of the program, until about 5 years ago, those Medicare claims were paid by organizations called Medicare Intermediary Carriers. And really, all the IT requirements for the most of the time of the Medicare program, the IT requirements have been performed and supplied by those large intermediaries and carriers. Several years ago, CMS started pulling out functions and consolidating functions to provide for a more efficient way of managing the program. So all of a sudden, CMS had a consolidated data center, and the software that was used to process medical claims was maintained centrally by CMS. And over time, the IT needs of the agency have evolved greatly to where today CMS contracts itself for the various IT services has established, in a number of cases, large IDIQ contracts against which to acquire IT services, and is somewhat of an integrator of a large number of different IT services that are necessary for the administration of a program as large as Medicare and Medicaid.
You know, if I'm listening to this program and I'm listening to Rod, I'm saying, geez, this guy really has in-depth knowledge of acquisition. If I had a question to ask Rod, why don't I attend the HIMSS meeting coming up November 15th? More information at HIMSS, HIMSS-NCA.org, program on the 15th. Marcia, you're going to be there answering questions as well. Let me give you a question someone may ask you. Well, where does this modular stuff fit in? What about GWACs and IDIQ? How does that fit in with the purchasing changes?
Well, From a broad-based perspective, it's been changing gradually over time, but it's been accelerated recently because of OMB directives and looking at reducing the high-risk contracts that some of the federal agencies have been letting. And the IDIQs that Rod mentioned are changing as well because they're being more consolidated, wanting the government wants organizations to use the government-wide contracting vehicles, acquisition contracts, the GWACs, if you will. And it's a dilemma for these organizations who have set up their own. But there's an efficiencies and economies of scale, obviously, in using these broader based contracts. And also in terms of, you mentioned the software development, there's been a directive to also do more modular solutions for, you know, systems development, because the Big Bang has been just taking years and years, and the requirements keep changing, and you never get, you know, not never, but in many cases, the systems requirements change so quickly over time. And we're at the HIMSS National Capital Area program on November 15th. We're going to have people who are in the trenches who are dealing with these issues on a daily basis from an acquisition perspective.
You know, it's interesting, Rod, that today, in order to evaluate a vendor, I think a federal agency might have to look at, well, how flexible, not only can it do the job now, but how flexible is this organization going to be in a changing job circumstance where the desktops are thrown out the window and everyone has an iPad? It has to be changed, can't it?
Right. You know, first of all, the government deals with organizations, and from a contracting term, we call it the organizations that are responsible. Organizations have the capability, the capacity to perform contracts. And I think that, as you said, like, you know, now when the agencies look at, you know, proposals, they're often looking for contractors that offer innovative solutions that, like you said, are thinking outside the box a little bit, or are looking, you know, longer term in terms of their solutions that they're proposing. Because I think that, you know, IT evolves so quickly and changes so quickly in the real world that agencies have to adapt. And one of the reasons that the government has gone to a policy of really encouraging greater use of modular contracting and more agile contracting methodologies is the traditional way the government would develop large systems is it was sort of what they call the Big Bang approach, where the government felt they had to define every requirement. And this is really just the government. I think this was done just everywhere.
Sure.
This is commercial. This was just the traditional way of developing IT systems, was you had to define every single requirement. And then you'd go off and somebody would start building an IT system that would take, you know, years. And in the course of those years, the technologies were changing, the platforms to run the software.
Years and 6 months.
Right,
huh?
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. So the, you know, the government now is trying to go to methodologies where, and you know, where they the work is divided into smaller phases, and the contracting vehicles are in place to allow the award, rather than have to compete through full and open competition, which can take months, each requirement, the government sets up indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity vehicles, where they can be multiple awards, so there's several contractors that hold that contract, and under the law then you can compete to work against those contracts, the multiple award IDIQ contracts, so you get good competition, but allows the government to award a task order much more quickly because you have, so to speak, a group of pre-qualified, capable companies that know the agency, how the agency functions. And so the modular contracting will allow IT to be developed in a more modular approach much more quickly and in phases, so that the government can then as technology changes, the phases can change and the overall IT need can be met in a more effective way.
Now, Marsha, 30 years ago, my wife bought a car. Lived in Ohio, it was cold all the time, and it is. You could add the air conditioning. There's a little box there, a little module you could add if you wanted to. So if you moved to Florida, you could put in the AC. Believe it or not, that's how the cars were made back then. And I think there are some agencies that have responded to this modular perspective and done. They've had success in flexible procurement. You want to give us a couple examples? I think GSA's done some stuff. What other places have done some stuff in modular and flexible purchasing?
Well, I know that there are some examples in the Military Health and the VHA. I'm not as familiar with what has been done on the civil side. Rod, do you recall something from CMS?
Well, yeah, I think that it's there've been. I think in the last several years, CMS has actually gone to a methodology where they're probably a little ahead of some of the general government policies that have come out, and we've tried to actually phase out the work. And one of the things we did, which I think was really good, is some of those phases we dedicated to small businesses, because when you develop the work in a modular way, you know, the actual development of software itself requires high level of quality systems to be in place, and sometimes only a large business can have those, but there's other parts of the work, you know, some of the testing and things like that could be done by small businesses. So we've already, CMS had already gone to that approach to some degree and I think has been ahead of the curve and trying to recognize that there you need to have along the way almost like no-go decision points in developing software.
And that's a very good point. They've broken out in many cases across Health and Human Services, for example, training requirements that relate to the system or the software. Or they've broken out the IVNV or the testing, as you mentioned, so that there's various pieces that are more modularized, and they're capable of the same company that's developing the system is not also doing the evaluation on the quality and the delivery.
It's like the accountants doing the audits at the same time. Well, we got to maybe separate a little bit.
And another thing that happens often, like with some of the systems at CMS, it's not just always developing a new system, it's changing existing systems. So if you're making major changes to, say, a payment system or something like that, you have to keep paying claims. The analogy used to be, you know, sometimes you're building, it's like building a bus, you know, changing a bus while it's driving down the road. And the systems are often like that. So, you know, it has to be done on a more modular approach because you can't just simply shut down a system and rebuild it from scratch. You know, you make changes along the way, requirements change, statutes change, and things like that.
We're going to have to change. We have to change for a break here. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, Marcia DeFalco, Accenture Federal Services, and Rod Benson, attorney with Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney. Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Marcia DeFalco. She's with Accenture Federal Services, and Rod Benson, attorney with Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney. We're talking about healthcare IT, talking about some of the challenges involved that federal agencies have in acquiring healthcare IT. And we're focusing in on an event coming up in mid-November, November 15th, HIMSS, H-I-M-S-S. They have a local chapter called the NCA chapter, and they have an event. Starts at 5:30 in the evening, and Marcia and Rod are going to be there, and they're going to bring in guests, and you know, 40 or 50 people are going to be in the room. The last time is 120 people, last event I went to. A lot of people, a lot of excitement. You can meet other healthcare IT professionals and ask questions to the panel. And Marcia, tell us more about this panel. Who's going to be on that, and what general topics are you going to handle?
Well, Rod and I are going to be the co-moderators, so we're going to do a tag team. And we're going to have representatives from CMS, the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, from the VA, which has a huge budget, obviously, to support the Veterans Health Administration and the Veterans Benefits Administration. And then also individuals from the contracting area from Military Health System. And we will have a representative from the NITAC, which is the contracting administrator for CIO SP3, which is one of the government-wide acquisition contracts that the OMB is encouraging everyone to look at instead of using their own IDIQs.
Rod, to stick with the baseball analogy here, it looks like you're covering all the bases here, you know? You got the military health, you got the CMS. Maybe the audience doesn't know what the CMS is all about. Perhaps you can tell us what this acronym or abbreviation stands for.
Sure. It's the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, I sort of see, you know, IT is not a means to an end itself, but rather a tools for, you know, achieving an agency's mission. And I think health IT is unique from, you know, every federal agency has IT anymore. You know, it kind of runs the world to some degree, but in health IT, I think there's some unique IT requirements. You know, in the VA and the military health system, they're actually operate hospitals. They're providing primary care to individuals. They have unique IT needs that are, you know, critical IT needs in order to perform those functions effectively. Part and parcel of that, there's a lot of initiatives in VA and the military health systems right now for development of electronic health records and doing a great deal. And I think it's going to be interesting going forward over the next several years, you know, how we transform health in this, not just in those systems, maybe in the country in general through the use of electronic health records, and the IT needs to support that. But in the case of CMS, there are IT needs around the payment functions. It's kind of unique because they're contractors that actually make payments, perform fiduciary functions for the federal government, which are somewhat unique. There's IT needs around fraud and abuse, around the quality of care, just the general IT support, such as data centers and things like that. And I think that the good thing about the HIMSS meeting, when you have people that are right in the trenches, so to speak, you know, day to day, they can make the connections between the IT and the mission requirements of the agencies and how they're going to use IT to meet the agency's requirements.
It's almost like you're watching a new show and they interview a player after a game. They've been in the trenches. They fought the battles. And that's what you're going to have, Marcia, is you're going to have people up on stage there who have actually been in the trenches and they've answered questions, had to respond to different changes in healthcare IT procurement, haven't they?
Absolutely. And they really have a passion about what they're doing, because it is so important, as everyone can see from the debates and the way healthcare has evolved, to provide the kinds of resources so that we can evaluate, so we can measure, so we can improve the quality, so that we can come up with, you know, best practices and port them from the commercial side and from the local areas in the state. State work with health insurance exchanges, for example, and it makes for a very lively and discussion oriented session, because it's all about the interplay with learning from each other.
Sure. To use your baseball analogy, IT is kind of really the bats and balls, but it's the players you really want to be talking with on the field. And that's, you know, what HIMSS brings together in a meeting like this. And its ability, like as Marcia said, not just in addition to being able to interact with the government decision makers and that who are responsible for utilizing IT and making both the tactical and strategic decisions of an agency around IT, but there's also the contractors and representatives from the commercial side, and can also bring their knowledge and their experiences to play into those conversations.
And no fear of asking questions in an awkward environment and saying, well, my experience has been X, Mr. Speaker. How can I change? And it's always good to get both sides, and then maybe these people can respond to that. You know, Marcia, I think if we look at a big picture of HIMSS, what they're trying to do is try to help federal agencies improve the way they acquire healthcare IT. One way is to reduce federal exposure to risk. Okay. How about better pricing? Okay. How about improved use of competition? Another good goal. You know, one thing people talk about in this administration is transparency. Is that also, you think, a topic that will come up at this meeting?
I think transparency is more and more in the forefront. And it's likely to come to bear, especially when people want to have access to information. Not only their own health records, the electronic health records, personal health records, but also in terms of which payer, which provider, which doctor, which hospital is doing what work, and what's the background on their performance.
Plus, from both ends of the equation, I think vendors might want to know. Where is the acquisition process? Where is it at? What part of the process? How long has it taken? Let me talk to Rod. Let me find out what's going on. We're going to protest this. I got a lawyer too. I mean, this accelerates quickly, doesn't it?
Right. It sure does. And the transparency, there's different levels of transparency. There is transparency around how the government spends its money, and there's a lot of information out there. But it's interesting now that I've been in the and working for the law firm the last couple of years, there's a lot of need for information that organizations have to understand where's an agency going, what's its long-term thinking, because I'm finding they're investing resources, they're making strategic hiring decisions based upon where they believe the agencies are going to be going with their IT needs. And by having conversations like this, having that kind of information, it provides the kind of a transparency that I think companies need in order to position themselves to be competitive. And the federal government benefits from that, because then when they do actually compete their requirements, they get a much higher level of competition and much better quality of services.
And it goes back to reducing the federal exposure to risk on evaluating what can this company do, what can they not do.
Sure, you're exactly right. In fact, the whole contracting process in the federal government is really all about risk mitigation, picking the company that's most likely to be successful in performing a requirement, who's most likely to stay on budget. All those are risks to the government, and the whole contracting process, the way they evaluate proposals, a contract itself is a risk mitigation tool. And you're exactly right. At the end of the day, all the government's doing and in the commercial world is really about mitigating risk.
We'll take a quick break when we come back, talk more about maybe Twitter, talk about the event, and maybe get the crystal ball out and look into the future of the next 10 years of healthcare IT. Maybe we have some observations here that'll be incisive. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today's guest is Marcia DeFalco, Accenture Federal Services, and Rod Benson, attorney with Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, another doubleheader, Marcia DeFalco from Accenture Federal Services and Rod Benson, attorney with Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney. We're talking about healthcare IT. We're talking about an event coming up on November 15th with HIMSS. We're going to get live human beings that you can sit in front of and ask questions to about healthcare IT procurement. A lot of people get information face-to-face. I like face-to-face a lot. Some people read blogs. You can type my name in John Gilroy blog and find my blog that way. Some people like tweets, and they follow Twitter folks. And you can follow me, at Ray Gilroy. And HIMSS has a Twitter handle. It's at HIMSS_NCA. I'm sure they'll point you to all kinds of information. And Marcia, you're involved in the leadership capacity with HIMSS, aren't you? Is that right?
Yes, I'm the new vice president of the National Capital Area HIMSS chapter, and I'll be president-elect next year, and I'm trying to help build a program through these programs, educational format. And also, we're looking for new volunteers. We just set up a new Young HIMSS professionals group, and they're teaching us a lot.
Sounds like a children's choir, the yes. Young HIMSS professionals.
Well, actually, it's young at heart.
Young at heart.
As they describe themselves. But it's more along the line to get those individuals who are in a health IT track related to the technology in the local colleges and universities more involved.
And more importantly, the young people can meet people like Rod at an event and casually say, well, geez, Rod, how would you handle the situation? All of a sudden, you have all this benefit of 30 years experience that can be transferred informally and face-to-face. I just think it's like...
And that happens
great.
Every meeting.
And that's great. I mean, I just think it's wonderful. I always tell my children that's really important to find a mentor, someone who's been a gladiator for 10 years, and maybe they can tell you how to hold a shield and how to wield that gladius, that sword, whatever it is. Yeah. And Rod, you have a law firm, and that law firm's at Buchanan Ingersoll. That's Buchanan Ingersoll. Go to LinkedIn, you type in, you go right to the homepage there. It's a great company page on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah, thank you, John. And I think that people find there's information on there that, you know, relative to health IT and other things that they'll find interesting. And just to add a word about HIMSS, you know, I've working now the last couple of years with a local chapter, you know, HIMSS has been, it seems to me, like really assessing and trying to be very responsible to the needs of its members. And one of the things I've been involved with is we've been putting on periodically business development workshops around health IT. And, you know, there are some cases full day workshops, and they've been greatly received. The attendance goes up for every workshop. There's a lot of people that work really hard on them. And, you know, we provide some real behind-the-scenes information about how the government evaluates technical and business proposals, and provide other information, and also talk about agencies so that people that want to market their services to the health IT arena, you know, really know where to go and what kind of needs that, you know, what kind of things the government's going to be looking for.
You know what? I teach a course in social media, and I always talk about LinkedIn. LinkedIn just changed the company page 2 weeks ago. Your law firm changed right with it, just like Snap. It's very unusual to see law firms that are that responsive and that agile, that transparent, that accountable. I mean, it means that they're trying to respond to the younger generation and say, hey, you know, I'm with it, or you're responding to what people, that's the way people want to get information now. That's how I get information on all my guests, 100%. Well, Marcia, here's the time in the show. Well, we have a scientific survey. I ask you 10 questions to find out if you're a card-carrying nerd. Some listeners may suspect, some may not suspect, but I'm going to give you a real quick and fast. So here we go. Here's a top 10 list here. Number one, year you bought your first computer.
Oh, 1980.
Ooh, that's big points in my audience. Yeah, that's good. Year your first cell phone.
Oh, my first cell phone. That was a little later. Probably closer to 1991.
That's pretty respectable. Do you have a Twitter feed? No. You have a blog?
I'm learning from the HIMSS Young Professionals how to actually use it.
And do you have online personal backup?
Online personal backup? Mm-hmm.
Oh,
no.
That's a no.
No.
Okay. And what kind of a smartphone do you have?
It's an iPhone.
iPhone, okay. And how many apps on that iPhone?
Oh, there's probably 10.
10. And do you have a tablet device?
Yes.
Okay. And what flavor is that?
It's Apple.
An Apple. Okay. An iPad. And any social networking sites you participate in?
Not really.
Okay. And the last book read, was it paper or electronic?
It was paper.
Paper. Well, we'll put that through my UNIVAC computer in my basement. Rod, I'm going to ask you the same 10 questions to find out if you're a card-carrying nerd or not. Oh. I know you're a gladiator. Let's see if you're a nerd. Year you bought your first computer.
1995.
95. Ooh, that's a weak answer. That's a weak answer.
Yeah, actually, probably 1990. Let me back that up.
And your first cell phone?
About the same time.
About the same time, okay. And do you have a Twitter?
No.
No. Blog?
No.
Okay. Do you use any online personal backup?
No.
Okay. And do you have a smartphone, or what kind of phone do you have?
I have a smartphone, yes.
Okay. Apple, I assume, huh?
Actually, a Droid.
A Droid, okay.
Right.
And how many apps on that Droid?
Oh, geez. 50.
50. And do you have a tablet device?
Yes.
What flavor?
Apple.
Apple and Apple. Okay. And social networking sites you participate in?
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. Mm. And last book you read, paper or plastic? Paper or electronic?
Paper.
Paper. Well, interesting. I never know where these answers come. You know, the security professionals hate online backup. They're about to throw me out the window when I even mention that. And it's kind of a test to see how sensitive you are to these services and how secure they are, and how secure they aren't, kind of interesting.
And John, I have to tell you that I don't consider LinkedIn, you know, a social network, because it's so formal, and it's really more business focused.
250 million people, the whole Fortune 500 are on LinkedIn. Kind of interesting social network.
So the Fortune 500, it's not really that much of an individual component.
I think him should have an event next year focusing in just on that. Social media, worthless, how to use it, what not to do, best practices. Have some govies stand up there and talk about what they did wrong, did right. I think it's an important topic, especially under anyone who's under 30. But I digress. We got to get back to healthcare IT, an event coming up on November 15th, talking about transparency, accountability, auditability, all kinds of topics I think that are going to be important. But what about the future here, Rod? Do you think some of these challenges are going to be overcome? Do you think information technology is going to assist federal IT professionals in overcoming some of these challenges?
Well, certainly that's a question we're going to put to the
panelists. Heron, you are a lawyer, aren't you?
At the HIMSS event.
It's like, what do I care about? These guys really have some answers right in that area, huh?
But I think that, you know, if you come to the event, I think we're going to hopefully hear a little bit about, you know, how's IT going to be used in the transformation, for example, in some of the payment methodologies as the government tries to go away from the fee-for-service model to a value-based model for paying healthcare claims, and in the area of fraud and abuse, you know, as the government moves from what's traditionally been more of a pay and chase model around claims to like really do more in the way of prepayment audits and prepayment edits, and be able to really, you know, and there's other things, you know, the data needs of the agency as the agency goes to looking, using more clinical information, assessing the quality of services in making payments, the data needs in the health IT area are really going to be off the charts. And I think those are the kind of things we're going to hear the panelists talk about at the November event.
And Marsha, Vice President, Local Hymns Chapter, should have a business card with that on it. How many folks are going to be on stage there, and how many folks do you expect to attend?
We will have representatives from three different agencies and then a GWAC, a government-wide acquisition contract vehicle. We will have Rod and I as the moderators. So that's, a total of six people on stage. Then in the audience, we've had anywhere from 100 or up to 200 people.
200
in the
people,
audience.
Isn't that amazing?
Standing room only.
You know, there's 140 federal events this month alone in the area here. And this one event can garner 200 people attending. That's really, it shows that there are listeners who are interested in this. There are people who are beating their head against the wall just trying to figure out answers.
Absolutely.
Maybe you should promote it as prevent hitting your head against the wall and hear what Rod Marsha, it's the Rod Marsha show. Don't beat your head against the wall. Use health IT for something.
Yeah, and I think there's more and more companies too that as they look at you know the federal budget and the population ages and there's increasing expenditures in the healthcare area, that there are companies that are looking for this way of like revitalizing and even in some cases transforming their business. Companies that know IT and they can bring their skills to bear in the IT arena, health IT arena.
Public-private partnerships. Sounds like another topic for a show for me in the next couple of weeks. We'll have to think about that. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, doubleheader, we have Marsha DeFalco from Accenture Federal Services and Rod Benson, attorney at Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney. Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.